Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
As it is every week, Thursday, one of my favorite days of the week here on the show as we do Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, our good friend Dr. Danny Akin, back from a summer of leisure. You know, he serves the Lord for about 9 months out of the year, and he's running the school and doing all those things. And then in the summertime, forget all that. You guys are out of here. He and his wonderful wife, Charlotte, are going to go out, and they're going to vacation and hang out, and who cares about all that ministry stuff? And of course, so the summer is all about you, right, Danny? It's just about you guys.
About the grandchildren. Of course, I don't want to exclude my four sons and three daughter-in-laws, and now a prospective fourth daughter-in-law joining the clan in October. But, the grandkids and the wife, we try to block off the summer to spend as much time with them as we can, and it's been a good summer. But Lord's also been continuing to do a lot of good things here at Southeastern too, Steve.
Yeah, because the numbers at the seminary and the college are just continuing to go through the ceiling, it would appear.
Well, this year we went over 4,000 students for the college and seminary combined, which is, again, an eighth year of record enrollment. We had thought we might get to 4,000 within three or four more years, and yet here we are now. And Spirit on the Campus is wonderful. Looking forward to a great fall. All of our numbers look really, really good there as well. The mission spirit continues unabated. And in fact, I'm headed soon over to Southeast Asia myself. We just had a group come back from Africa, a group come back from Japan, and I can keep going for a long time. And so just thankful to be a part of a seminary where the heartbeat is the Great Commission, the final marching orders of our Lord.
Well, and we think in terms of, well, this is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're in Wake Forest, North Carolina. But because of the internet and all the online things, and now with extension campuses, not the least of which is in a prison here in North Carolina and working like in Southeast Asia and these really incredible partnerships that are all over the world. And how many different continents? Because there's Africa. I know
all
there's
but Antarctica.
Southeast Asia.
All but Antarctica.
All but Antarctica.
And we're thinking about coming up with evangelism plans for penguins, and because that's about all that you have down there in Antarctica.
Well, that's us Southern Baptists preaching the gospel to everybody and everything.
But in all seriousness, we are on every continent.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's just exciting to see what our Lord's doing right now.
That's awesome. Well, we're I always drive people on Thursdays because we the folks in the communications department kind of reset one of the pages at sebts.edu. And I know that sounds like I'm speaking in tongues, which we're going to get to in a minute. But it's Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, sebts.edu/radio. That will land you on a new page where you see all the different opportunities that are available online. Some you pay for, some you don't. And it's just incredible what all is available here. So I would encourage all of you to do that. Well, today we've got a very divided nation. And I've said this recently. I had Keith Whitfield on recently. We did a show, Dr. Whitfield, on politics and kind of where we're at in evangelicalism. And I've never seen the evangelical world split as deeply and as quickly as we saw in 2016, 2017, with the primaries and the election of Donald Trump. And so united or divided is kind of where I wanted to go today with you, Danny. And because there are hills as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, biblical Christians, that we should die on when it comes to doctrine or theology. And there's other hills that come up that we should not die on. And I think it's an important reminder for all of us if we're going to take our Bibles seriously. We look at John 17 and Jesus' prayer to the Father for us. Unity is a big deal.
Yes.
But it's not, at least let me just ask you this question and then we'll dive into, because we're going to talk about things that tend to divide us or should we be united on them. We'll talk about politics. We'll talk about baptism, tongues, private prayer language, leadership in the church, women's role in the church, free will, predestination. We're not going to dive down deep on any of these things. We're just going to hit them quickly. And then we'll talk about the non-negotiables. But should it be unity at any cost? That's my first question.
No. Unity at any cost is no unity at all. And so there are going to always be parameters that establish the acceptable playing field in which we can cooperate work together and do things together. I can have great love in my heart for every person. I can genuinely care for the soul of every person. But that does not mean that I can work in a close, intimate relationship with every person. That's simply not the case in any realm of reality, but certainly in the areas where we take very seriously our faith, our commitment to the gospel, our commitment to the Word of God. Jesus himself said that he came to divide. Yes, he wants unity within his body, but he also came to divide, and as he said, even set family members against one another. And so where you stand on Christ by its very nature is going to either unite us or divide us, and we have to accept that is indeed the reality that we are faced with.
And then we're talking about generally, when we talk about, okay, we're not going to go do ministry together, we're not going to plant a church together, but do we take that, how do we deal with that just on like a social realm? I mean, people that, or people that go to certain churches, you know, according to, Ed Stetzer, he would say, and he said this a couple years ago, and he stands by it, and the research does too, like the, let's talk about the Methodist Church in America. The Methodist Church has, if you're a Methodist, you've got about 30 Easters left. Because your trajectory and the decline in your membership is going to go to zero in about 30 years. And so for people that are in a church, that's one thing. But just should we divide with other people that claim Christ over some of these issues we're going to talk about? What does that look like just socially? Does that make sense?
Well, socially, again, I can engage almost anyone in respectful conversation, dialogue. I can even sit down with most people, almost all people, and share a meal, although we can talk again about where the Bible draws some lines in the area of church discipline and how we are to rightly relate to those who are actually within a particular community of faith. But that's one level in which we can engage people. But there are other areas, Steve, when we begin to think about how we function day in and day out and live our lives and conduct our ministry and be the church, that are going to, again, raise different kinds of issues, different kinds of questions that require different kinds of decisions.
And we're going
to
go through those. We'll talk about these kind of hot-button issues, and then we'll end up talking about hills that we should die on when it comes to doctrine and theology, things that are non-negotiable that you have to turn your back and walk the other way because you're straying into heresy and all kinds of things like that. That's the topic today, dividing or uniting as Christians in the body of Christ. This is Steve Noble. It's Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, talking to Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of the seminary today. And we will be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, today, as always, every week on Theology Thursday. We spend the hour with our friends here at Southeastern Baptist, where, by the way, the radio show is actually, that's where I am. That's where I do the show most days of the week when I'm not traveling, which is quite a bit. Next week, for example, I'll be in California with Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade folks. That'll be the 29th year in a row for the Southern California Harvest Crusade and at Angel Stadium. Danny, that's been 29 years in a row.
That's amazing.
At Angel Stadium, there'll be somewhere between 90 and 110,000 people there. And you almost always see about 9 or 10,000 people come forward to make a profession of faith or return to Christ. And the vast majority of those are first-time professions of faith. So every year, it's kind of funny when you go out there, and I host the live radio simulcast all three nights. It's about a three-hour affair each night, which is a blast. And we're on.
So you're on the air.
I'm on the air during
3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we do a pre-show and then kind of in between musical acts and stuff that not everything that happens on the field translates well into radio.
Sure.
So we kind of interact back and forth. Once Greg steps up to the podium to deliver the message, we back out. This is really cool. We just started doing this a couple years ago when they asked me to take over the broadcast. I actually, I'm trying to remember. There was a movie with Robert Duvall when he played a pastor. In the South somewhere.
Oh, I'm very much aware of the movie.
The Apostle.
One of my favorite. Thank you.
It's called The Apostle. So there's a scene in that where he's Billy Bob Thornton's hates the church, and he's at this little country church, and he wants to drive his tractor over the church. Yes. And Robert Duvall stops in front of him, puts a Bible down in front of the tractor, and dares him to drive over it.
They actually get in a fist fight.
It's amazing. And so, but there's a little Christian radio dude there who's able to broadcast on site, and I remember him whispering in the middle of it. He's like, "This may be the first on-air live conversion we've ever had here at WKBG," or whatever it is. It was so funny. So I thought of that when I went out. This was 2 years ago to take over the Harvest broadcast, and I said, "You know what? Can I broadcast from the outfield, like during the invitation when people are coming forward? Can I be out there with a mobile mic and a mobile unit, and I'll report from the middle of the birthing room?" And that's what we started doing.
Wow.
So I go out there when there's 10 minutes before the invitation, and I stand out there, and then I get to describe everybody as thousands of people flood down to the field.
That's awesome.
And then after they're done, and they take them through and get their information and share Bible with them and get them plugged into a local church, then we grab some of them and bring them over. So I'm talking to people that literally just 5 or 10 minutes earlier made a first-time profession of faith. It's wild. So anyway, that's where I'll be next week. I'll be broadcasting
praying for you
Friday, and then the Crusades Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Anyway, it's Theology Thursday today, talking to Dr. Danny Akin, the president of the seminary. United or divided, what hills should we die on in the church as we go through some of these different theological issues? So let's start with the things that tend to bring up some controversy and tend to cause some strife inside the body. And this is, it could be Pentecostal churches, it could be Southern Baptist churches, evangelical, non-denomination, whatever. But we'll start with the one that's hot right now. We'll only spend a minute on it and we'll move over. So we talk about politics, or we talk about Donald Trump. How should we handle that as Christians amongst each other?
Well, a good friend of mine, Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Never heard of that seminary.
No. In this part of the country, you don't want to talk about
it.
Yeah,
I got it. I'm with you.
But anyway, he wrote a very fine article, Steve, a number of years ago on what he called theological triage. And in that particular article, Al makes three different observations, or lays out three different levels on which we engage all issues, and how we can then decide, can we work together on a certain level or can we not work together at all? First level issues are, what makes you a Christian? What are those non-negotiables that constitutes whether or not you are a Christian or not? Second level is, what are those issues that we have to agree upon in order to do church together? In other words, baptism. I have many wonderful Presbyterian brothers and sisters that I love, that I engage with. My goodness gracious, we've had on this campus in past years Sinclair Ferguson, Ligon Duncan, Brian Chappell, wonderful brothers in Christ that I'm happy to listen to them preach. We are agreed upon the gospel. We agree on many doctrines of the faith, but baptism would keep us from planting churches together because they baptize babies, which is no baptism at all, and we don't. We only affirm what the Bible affirms, believer's baptism. Then there are those issues where we can disagree and yet still work together within the body of Christ. And so these are areas, and I wish everybody agreed on what falls into tier one, tier two, and tier three. We don't, although there is a great deal of unanimity on the basic structure there. So, for example, you raise the issue of politics. For me, that's a third tier issue. I don't have to agree. I have many friends that voted for Donald Trump. I have many friends that did not vote for Donald Trump. All members of the same community of faith, they still love each other. They still easily cooperate on the Great Commission, because this is not an issue that is essential with respect to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so here at Southeastern Seminary, we had people that were all over the map in the last election when it comes to President Trump. We were all in agreement, Steve, that we pray for him, that we respect him and honor him because he is the president. That was true of the previous president, Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
And we can applaud him when he does things that are good, moral, righteous, things that line up well with Scripture.
Sure.
When he doesn't, I don't think he deserves a pass.
Well, yeah, that's that prophetic voice.
Exactly.
I always say it on the air. My axe has two ends. both ends are sharp, and I swing it in both directions.
That's a good way of putting it.
Because if you're whatever microscope you use for Obama, if you don't use it on Trump, you're intellectually dishonest.
I agree.
Unequal weights and measures, if I wanted to go there.
But, absolutely.
But I think that's a great point. So I can go on a mission trip with somebody that opposes politically. I can serve in church with them.
Yes.
And it's not a question of salvation.
No.
So that's a third-tier issue.
Absolutely.
Don't burn a lot of bridges over that. Let's move on to the next one because I don't want to spend any more time on that. But you mentioned it. So baptism. So some people sprinkle. Some people immerse. Some people say you need it to be saved. Some people don't.
Well, if you say you need to be saved, then at that point, you're guilty of heresy. That's a false teaching. And at that point, I'm going to have to oppose your doctrine of baptismal regeneration because it harms the gospel. It misrepresents the gospel. And though I will love you and though I can pray for you, I'm going to have to oppose you very directly with respect to that doctrine. You baptize infants, but do not see it as salvific. I would not call that heresy. I would call that a theological error. Would that prevent us then from working together in building local churches? It would. Would it prevent us from coming together for a harvest crusade? Not at all, because we do believe the gospel. We are one on the gospel, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So there, because of our unanimity on the gospel, we can work together on that level. But I would say not in terms of planting local churches together.
Yeah. And that's really helpful what Al Mohler had written about in those three different tiers, tier one, tier two. Does it make you a Christian? That's tier one. Can we do church together, local church, plant a church, run a church together, tier two? And tier three, we disagree on things, yet we can still work together in the body of Christ, be it a mission trip or helping out the poor or the needy or helping a pregnancy crisis center.
Or even differing on our eschatological views.
Yeah. And that's another one. We'll touch on that as well. It is Theology Thursday here on the Steve Noble Show, talking to Dr. Danny Akin, the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary here in Wake Forest, North Carolina. By the way, you can jump online. Just go to sebts.edu. That's just Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, sebts.edu/radio. And you'll see all kinds of great opportunities. Some are certificate programs. You can start to work on a degree there. But some are free, like Dr. Akin, the president of the seminary, is with us today as we're talking about what should we unite on and what can we what should we divide on and hills to die on and hills not to die on. But his hermeneutics class, which is just how to properly understand and interpret and study the scriptures, is something that every Christian that's serious about it should take. And that's one of the free courses that you can take at Southeastern. So sebts.edu/radio will put you on one page where you can see all the different things that you do not need to live here in order to access. There are other things that if you live in the area, that's great. But none of that's required on the things on that particular page. So make sure you check that out. Talking through these different issues, and these are difficult things. We've done entire shows on these things before, talking about where we should divide, where we shouldn't, where we can kind of get past our personal differences and remain unified as the body of Christ, as Christ prayed for in John chapter 17. So we talked about politics. We talked about baptism. Here's another one that can be a hot button issue. Speaking in tongues in a private prayer language. So you mentioned earlier, Al Mohler had that kind of three-tier system. Top tier being, hey, is this something that either makes you a Christian or doesn't? You just mentioned baptism. If you think baptism is salvific, you need it in order to be saved. That's a tier one issue now and a problem. Otherwise, that drops down to tier two. Should we do church together? Can we plant a local church together? You sprinkle, we dunk, we do it at different times on the calendar. That's a problem. A tier two problem, though. So what about tongues and prayer language? Because that can be a pretty hot-button issue, too.
Well, I think one of the things we have to recognize, Steve, is in many churches, and I certainly would be an advocate of this, I'm going to make a distinction between what is essential for leadership and what is essential for membership. And there are going to be differences in terms of doctrinal expectations, and there will be also some level of difference in terms of one's disposition. Let me apply it to Southeastern Seminary, for example. I have expectations for my faculty that I do not have for our students. All members of our faculty have to affirm four confessions of faith, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, the Abstract of Principles, the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, and the Danvers Statement on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Let me approach it in a reverse fashion. A student then could come onto this campus and be pursuing a degree. They could be an egalitarian. They could reject inerrancy. They would not affirm all that you find in the Abstract of Principles or the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, but they indeed give a credible testimony of having repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So they could be a student. Now, they should expect that they will never get a recommendation from Danny Aiken or any of the other faculty members in terms of leadership in a church, but they could become a student here at Southeastern in a local church. If I'm a pastor, I'm going to have certain expectations for those in leadership that I would not necessarily require of those who are members.
Right.
So when it comes to the issue of tongues, I could even have some flexibility there, even in leadership. I could have someone that believes that tongues have completely ceased. That's known as cessationism. I could have others that would say, I am cautious but open, which is Danny Aiken's position. I could even have those that say, I'm convinced that the gift of tongues today is a valid ongoing gift. Now, if they then at that point say, and I believe it is a gift that every single person should be practicing, now we're going to draw a line.
Yeah, now you got a problem.
Yes, because
or if they say that's proof of your salvation.
Yes. At that point, I think they have moved into theological error, and I would not have someone in a position of leadership that held that view. Now, could someone hold that view and be a member? Yes, but it would probably place restrictions on the degree in which they would be granted leadership opportunities.
Right.
And I would not apologize for that or feel bad about that. Glad they come. Pray that they'll hear through the preaching of the Word of God that they'll change their view there, which I think is a biblically untenable one. So again, leadership membership distinctions, I think, also have to be considered as we think through and walk through these various issues. And that certainly would apply to the issue of tongues.
Yeah, because that's a big deal when you're talking about being in a leadership position and teaching and having that authority versus just being a member of whether it's here at the school or being a student or being a member at a local church.
And let me also say this. Excuse me. If you have an agenda
that's going
to be problematic not only for leadership, that could even become problematic for membership because if you have an agenda for, say, the issue of tongues, and you become divisive with that particular issue, now you're doing damage to the body, and this is where Matthew 18 is going to kick in.
Got it. Yep, that makes perfect sense. All right, so you mentioned leadership. Let's talk about leadership in the church. I don't want to get down into church leadership in terms of elders and deacons and which is what. I don't want to get into that, but I think the biggest thing we look at there is women.
Yes.
Right now, Willow Creek, unfortunately, in the headlines, Willow Creek has had women in leadership there for years.
From
its beginning. Teaching pastors and leaders with leadership roles in the church. So what about that one? What kind of tier one? It's not a tier one issue.
No, it's a tier two issue.
Okay.
Yeah, if you are an egalitarian and you believe that women can serve as elders in a church, then as one who is a complementarian and believes that only God calls men to the leadership assignment in the church, then I'm not questioning your salvation. But we can't do church together. We can't work together in leading a church. We can't work together in building a church. And so for me, that would be a issue that separates in terms of doing life together in the local church. Now, you could be a member of our church. Maybe you come to our church and you affirm egalitarianism. Fine, you can be a member as long as you do not take that issue, make it a divisive one. But I will also have to say you're going to be restricted in terms of any type of leadership position. I'm not going to put you in a position where you're instructing others in a way that I think is clearly contrary to Scripture, but certainly contrary to the leadership of the church. And so that's an issue that I think would fall into that second category, not questioning your salvation or your relationship with Christ, but it would be problematic for us to do church together.
Now, what about outside? And this will get a little sticky, but I'd like to go there.
Yes, you do.
Outside of a local church body and the management of that, which is clearly spelled out in Scripture. We're not talking about women can't be leaders in a business.
No.
Can't be leaders in a civic organization
no.
or whatever. We're talking about in a church. But let's talk about the denominational. This came up back in June. You're a Southern Baptist. I'm a Southern Baptist. Where some people were saying, hey, what about somebody like Beth Moore being the president of the Southern Baptist Convention? Because I think that one probably – that drew some – got pretty heated at times.
It did.
How do you look at that one? And I'm not going to – we're not going to die on this
sure.
hill either.
Well,
but it's just an interesting point that's come
let
up.
Let me first of all say that Beth is my friend and that I hold her in the highest regard and respect and am thankful for the many, many, many good things she's done
absolutely.
In her teaching ministry. Do I find anything in the Bible that would say expressly that she could not serve as president of the Southern Baptist Convention? No, I don't. Do I think it would probably be a wise course for us to follow? Probably not. And so I'm making the distinction here between what the Bible clearly prohibits,
sure.
but what would be a wise course of action. And given the fact that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he's not a pastor, but he certainly carries out pastoral-like functions,
sure, yeah.
Including preaching a convention sermon.
Yeah.
I think that would probably lead us to be wise in not going down that road. And actually, knowing Beth as I do, she has no aspirations to be president.
Yeah, who would want to step into that?
She's not interested in doing that at all.
First woman in Southern Baptist history.
That, exactly.
That's just not
– so.
That's not going to happen. I can't
that's not her agenda. In fact, as far as I know, I don't know of a complementarian woman who's a well-known leading complementarian woman that has set her sights on such a position.
Yeah.
They're happy to obey the Bible, and they're happy to have the teaching opportunities that God opens up to them, and they're happy to do it within the confines of what Scripture clearly allows. And where it's not so clear, hey, if it's going to be divisive and hurtful to the body, out of love and deference for others— we don't need to walk down that road.
Would you apply that principle to like a Sunday school class with men and women, and then there's a woman teaching it?
I don't have a problem with a woman teaching it occasionally. I would not be comfortable, Steve, with a woman teaching it consistently, because I think in a consistent teaching pattern, men need men, women need women.
Yeah.
Titus 2 is pretty clear about yeah. older godly men instructing younger godly men to be godly men, and older godly women doing the same for younger women. So I see a pattern there in Titus 2 that I think we're wise to follow.
Yeah, that W word always drops in, and we kind of forget that when you think you're going to get every single black and white answer in Scripture. You're not, and
no.
that's where wisdom comes into play. And that's, as you were talking about the Beth Moore thing, I was thinking about Danny Akin's Guide to Drinking, which is, I would just, I love the way you put this, you just go, you asked me this question when we did a show on it, what's the upside?
Yes.
If there's no real upside, then don't bother doing it, and your freedom isn't a good time to do that, as we have to consider the message we're sending, not only outside the body, but inside the body. This is Steve Noble. It's Theology Thursday. A couple more on this issue of uniting or dividing when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our good friend Dr. Danny Akin, the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and in a climate of division, which we're definitely in now, not just in the nation and not just over politics, but you see this inside the church. And I know we could argue all day long about who's in the church and who isn't, and denominationalism and all of that. We're talking really about people that can make a good profession of faith like Peter did, and they understand the gospel and they put all their faith in Jesus. All their baskets are in his – all their eggs are in his basket. They're not relying on themselves, and so their salvation understanding is rock solid. But on other things, like we were talking about politics and baptism and tongues and leadership in the church, stuff like that, we can find some differences. So what do you do with those differences? That's really the question that we're kind of working through today. And Danny, you mentioned by way of review, I think it's important. You mentioned something that Al Mohler had written on, who is the president of a seminary that will remain unnamed on this show anyway. Take us back, because I think that's really helpful as we approach these things, tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3.
Well, he calls it theological theological triage and trying to also weigh what issues are most urgent, just like going to an emergency room, and what issues are less urgent that you get to sit out in the waiting room and wait till they can get to you. Tier one is, of course, issues that are an essence of orthodoxy. What makes you a Christian? The gospel, the full authority of the Bible, the bodily resurrection, the virgin birth. We can just go down a number of issues that fall into that tier one category. Tier two are issues where we do not question whether or not you're a Christian, but it would prevent us from working together. And perhaps the clearest issue would be the issue of baptism, which separates good, godly, Bible-believing Presbyterians from good, godly, Bible-believing Baptists, for example. And then tier three are those issues that we
can— When you say work together, that's within the confines of a local church body.
Yes, we can't do church together.
Right,
in other words, my dear, dear, dear friend, Ligon Duncan, and I both agree we can't be a part of the same church because they believe in baptizing babies and I don't. And that's at the very essence of their understanding of the covenant community, just as it's of the very essence of my understanding of the covenant community as well.
Wasn't there a Catholic scholar in your earlier life, when maybe right before you became a Christian or after you became a Christian?
Well, my major professor, when I did my PhD, Father B.D. Lackner, was a Catholic Cistercian priest. And I believe that when I get to heaven, Father Beattie will be there.
Yeah.
And at that point, praise God, we'll all have perfect theology and all these things that do cause us controversy and consternation down here will have completely evaporated in light of the glory of Christ. But then that third tier issues are those issues where we might disagree, but we could still be a part of the same local fellowship. A good example is eschatology. Two of my dearest friends in all the world are David Platt and Mark Dever. David now still president of the International Mission Board, but also pastor McLean Bible Church in the Washington area. Mark, pastor of Capitol Hill. Both of those brothers are amillennial. Well, Steve, I'm premillennial, pre-tribulational. And so we differ in terms of the details of eschatology. Having said that, if I lived in the D.C. area, could I gladly, joyfully, with great delight, be a member of either one of those churches? No problem at all. Absolutely. Issues of Calvinism. There are people that are
on my list.
Yep. Well, people that are 5 point, 4 point, 3 point, 2.5 point, whatever you want to do. When I was in Louisville at Southern Seminary, we'll mention at least
Calvinism
once,
being talking about the elect versus Arminianism, which
absolutely
is total free will.
I was a member of a church, Highview Baptist Church, pastored by a non-Calvinist, Kevin Ezell, who today is the president of the North American Mission Board. Also in that church was Al Mohler, a classic Calvinist. Myself, a non-classic Calvinist. Tom Rainer, a non-classic.
Wow.
So we were significantly different in terms of our affirmation of the points of Calvinism, but we were absolutely united on the gospel, absolutely united on the Great Commission, absolutely united on an inerrant Bible, and all the other things, for example, that you find in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, which, by the way, is a pretty narrow confession of faith.
Yep.
So we could agree that we were united on those major issues. Other areas, hey, we can differ here and still fulfill the Great Commission and obey Christ.
Now, can a Calvinist and an Arminian go plant a church together?
If you're talking about a classic Arminian, probably not. Because if one believes that you can lose your salvation, again, I would not call that a heresy, but I would certainly call it a theological error.
Yeah.
And so I would not be able to plant a church with someone that did not affirm the doctrine of perseverance or eternal security. That is a tier two issue for me.
Got it. Okay, so sexuality and gender. It's a hot topic now. It has been for the last 20 years. It's only getting more so.
Well, that's clearly tier two and probably close to being a tier one issue, because if you begin to deny what the gospel is able to do in terms of transforming a person so that their gender lines up with the Bible's clear teaching on the gender issue, then you've virtually denied the gospel and its power transformation, and that would almost fall into a tier one issue. So could I plant a church or be a part of the same church with someone that holds to the current fad of gender thinking, no, that would be problematic to the hilt. And I would even be concerned, to be honest with you, Steve, about their genuine conversion because they're rejecting what Jesus clearly taught. Jesus said in the beginning, God made them male and female, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. Sometimes people will say, well, Jesus never addressed the issue of gender. That's simply not true. He very clearly addressed it in Matthew chapter 19 and very clearly affirms the heterosexual understanding of gender that you find in Genesis 1 and 2.
Yeah, and back in the day, to use that phrase, that would be like questioning the existence of gravity.
Yes.
It was not something that was up for discussion, and it was obviously known to everybody.
Oh, homosexuality.
So why would Jesus talk about it much?
Was rampant in the Roman world, and it was very clear where the Jews came down on this particular issue.
Here's another hot button issue, and one that where I know we have diversity right here on the campus of Southeastern is the age of the Earth.
Yes,
the Genesis account, and you'll have some old Earthers and some young Earthers. Like for Ken Ham, he'll move this into a tier one issue for a lot of people. If you question the age of the Earth, if you don't think the Earth is 6 to 10,000 years old, you're throwing out the Book of Genesis. And if you throw out the Book of Genesis, you might as well throw out the whole Bible. He takes a pretty hard stand.
Well, then
on that,
he's but how throwing out of the family people like J.I. Packer and John Stott and Norman Geisler, and I certainly would not want to do that.
Yeah.
I personally find this, Steve, to be a Tier 3 issue. Now, the historicity of Adam and Eve is not. If you reject the historicity of Adam and Eve, that clearly falls in terms of practice into a Tier 2 issue and is beginning to approach a Tier 1 issue. You say, why would you say that? Because Jesus himself clearly believed in the historicity of Adam and Eve. And so if you say that Adam and Eve were not historical persons, you're saying that Jesus was wrong. Now you've got a huge Christological issue that almost always pushes into Tier 1. And so I'm not going to require someone to be on this faculty, a young earther or an old earther or anything in between, but they cannot be on this faculty and deny that Adam and Eve were real people and that there was a true historical fall of our primordial parents.
Yeah, and that, so we've kind of dealt with all those things where we can find some diversity there. And then kind of teetering between Tier 2 and Tier 1. So let's talk about the Tier 1 things. And this could be leadership in the church. This could be being a member of a church. This could be whether you leave a church or not. Mm-hmm. I think some of those, we didn't really talk about that, but some of these issues can be, because of what you were talking about, when you start going to Christology and the authority of the scriptures, the whole thing will unravel quickly.
Well, I like the
That's
way
a
you,
cornerstone. You pull it out, now you got a problem.
I like the way you put it in a very practical way. What would cause me to leave a church? I will leave a church over the issue of the gospel. If you do not believe that people are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, then I'm out of there. I would leave the church over the issue of the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection. I don't think you can be a Christian if you deny the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection. The inerrancy of the Bible. I would not be a part of a church, and I would leave a church if they began to reject the full truthfulness and the full authority and trustworthiness of the Bible. The second coming of Christ being historical, visible, literal. You deny that, I think you are again rejecting the crystal clear teachings of Scripture, and I would leave a church over that particular issue. I would leave a church over the issue of women as pastors because I believe the Bible, again, is so very clear that God calls men to a servant leadership assignment both in the home and also in the church. Again, at this point, I'm not questioning whether or not you're a Christian,
right,
but I'm questioning whether or not we can do church together. So those are some issues that for me would rise to the level that I would need to find a different fellowship where we are like-minded on these kinds of and then on these particular issues.
Yeah. And just like you said with the whole gender issue and sexuality,
yes,
if somebody's going to deny the clear teaching of Scripture on that, it gives you reason to have a concern that they're going to be denying all kinds of things, just like the sufficiency of Christ, Christ alone. They go, well, now they're straying into universalism, and now you've got no Christianity at all at that point.
Exactly. And so I think this is where we have to just, again, take a stand, realizing it won't be popular, but it will be essential.
Yeah. If you're looking for popularity, stop following Jesus.
Exactly.
Dr. Danny Akin, always great to have you on. Thank you so much. A really important topic, and I think one that we think about very fairly often. We run into it a lot, but we don't really dive down deep into it, especially when it comes to leaving a church. But that's a great, great conversation. I appreciate you doing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, the end of another great Theology Thursday. This is Steve Noble. It was with Dr. Danny Akin. SEBTS.edu is the website. As always, SEBTS.edu/radio will land you on a page where you can see all these different opportunities you can have to go deeper into your faith and deeper into the scriptures here at Southeastern. This has been another great Thursday. I love you guys. Thanks for being here. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.